We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
In the Know, the Bourbon Street Shots Podcast. It's all Pelicans, all the time. We're in the middle of a pod talking about, well, they could trade this guy for Cousins and this guy for Okafor and Paul George maybe on the table in the summer. And, you know, and then we gave, very cleverly said that all of those trades had a 10% chance of happening, and Okafor was like an 80% chance of happening, and oh my God, am I wrong. Michael, what just happened?
I don't, you're leaving out the part where on our last pod we also discussed I'm Gonna Get You, Sucka, Logan, and the Fate of the Furious, which I think were the most gripping parts of the pod that people will never get to hear again. But we both said I did have Boogie at a little higher. I didn't think Sacramento would pull the trigger, but just when you could think they couldn't get any dumber, they go ahead and do something like this and totally redeem themselves.
So I got to call you out right here and now.
Do it.
I don't know how many times I've sat on a podcast with you and you have said, GMs in the NBA aren't stupid. They do all this work, and they figure things out. And then we see a trade like this, which is right now, and like it's in process. We can't say this is 100% the full package, but it looks like Evans, Heald, Galloway, this year, this next first-round pick, and the pick from Philly for Cousins. That's all we have, it looks like. Like, this is the classic, you know, four quarters for a dollar trade that Bill Simmons always trashes. Like, none of these guys come
close. Where do you see a quarter? I don't see a quarter amongst any of that. And don't dismiss, this trade doesn't get done if not for Ish Smith.
No, there's a 2017 pick in there. That's a quarter at least, right?
I don't know.
Well, right, because it's going to be, like, the Pelicans are going to be better now. So it's probably, like, pick 10. Or worse. Like,
If this pick falls any lower than 12, I think the Pelicans are either finishing eighth or ninth in the West now. It's hard for me to imagine any other outcome. You're looking at a pick between 12 and 15, most likely. You're looking at Buddy Hield, who I think he'll be a guy in the league. He'll be, you know, whatever. He'll be a nice little player that eventually figures it out. Not in Sacramento, because nobody ever does there. So I feel that's probably the guy I feel worse for, even more than Kings fans.
So Shams Charania just confirmed that Sacramento is sending Omri Caspi, small forward Omri Caspi, to New Orleans in the trade as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of Dell's mistakes that he regrets, is just letting Omri walk.
So we just got a power forward and a small forward, I mean a center and a small forward in this trade. Like,
yeah, but we had to give up that Philly second. Yeah, no, I mean,
oh my God,
to me,
dude.
I
hate DeMarcus Cousins, and this is like insane. I cannot figure out what Sacramento is thinking. But you actually, in the last pod, had a very, very thoughtful way of explaining what both the Pelicans would be thinking and what the Kings are thinking. So, please, go ahead. The Kings, what is one of their major motivations for this trade? That's not obvious.
Before the trade went down, you were kind of asking me why in the world would the Kings even consider that, and I'd say, well, it's not only the package they're getting from the Pelicans, but if the Kings keep winning, they're going to lose their own pick. So if they trade Cousins now, you got to basically add their 2017 pick into this bounty that they're getting. So if you look at it from that point of view, and you also add in, let's say, the eighth pick to this bounty versus the universe in which they roll with Cousins and then maybe trade them, in June or even next February, that makes a little bit of sense from their point of view. But before we just write off all their teams.
Hold on one sec. Apparently the pick that the 2017 pick that New Orleans sent over, it's top three protected too.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it moves into the top three, which is the only way it can move, is into the top three in this draft.
Right.
They keep it.
The Kings are based. But the Kings are not smart by any means, but they put this man on the market, and they gathered offers from teams, and this was the best offer that they got. They didn't turn down better offers. They apparently asked for Ingram from the Lakers, got denied. And if they're not putting Ingram on the table, what are they putting on the table? Maybe Julius Randle? Because the Lakers don't even have their pick this year, unless it's top three, which they can't guarantee, whatever. And they're probably not going to have if they keep Cousins. So it's going to be – I mean, other people weren't offering a lot for this guy. So just something I want people to keep in mind a little bit about. Cousins is, for whatever reason, not many wanted him.
So we've lived through 4 years of Eric Gordon whiny bitch face. So now we have to live through Boogie Cousins. Are we okay with that? Like, has Eric Gordon primed us for this? So now we can enjoy that look.
I think there's gonna be a honeymoon period that Gordon never had, because when Gordon came here, he was miserable. He was leaving L.A. for New Orleans, just kind of part of this trade he never really wanted. He thought the Clippers were going to pay him and Blake were going to be, the foundation there. And then all of a sudden he winds up having to go to New Orleans and was miserable from the first shot. So I think it'll be different, at least in the honeymoon period. What I'm curious about is, what winds up happening. I mean, it's going to be hard to fire Dell Demps after pulling out kind of a miracle trade like this. But my question, the first thing I honestly think about is Alvin Gentry coaching this team next year? I mean, that's just the first thing that pops into my mind, because they've got the talent, they want to win. I wouldn't say that this is Gentry's ideal 4-5. So that's just kind of the first thing I think of. But as far as whining Cousins, I don't worry about that as much right away, because I think there'll be a honeymoon period. What I do wonder about, and I need to be educated about now, is I know that he's in the suspension for technicals protocol. Yep. Does he get suspended for every technical he gets from here on out?
It's every other. It's every other.
So that'll be a fun little thing as the Pelicans push for the playoffs, that basically every technical either gets him suspended or puts you to a point where now you're fearing the next one. So that's going to be fun.
Yeah. But let's talk. You asked me what I thought about the matching of Davis and Cousins just from a basketball standpoint. So we're not talking about his volatile nature and the stories we've all heard about what he does in practice to people. We're talking just purely on the basketball court. My take is, offensively, he is essentially capable of doing everything we were thinking Paul Millsap could do for Davis. He is offensively, he can step out, he can hit a three, he's not going to clog the paint necessarily. He's also going to be a capable high post passer with Davis. Davis is going to be able to play off of him. This is not a center who makes it so that there's no possible spacing. You can basically have both those guys on the floor at any time and have one of them out in the paint and one of them out of the paint. You have both of them if you need them in there. They're going to be able to cover each other like crazy on the boards. This team, I'm going to be really interested to see if it remains a historically league-worst offensive rebounding team with both of these guys on it, because you would think that's going to change, right? Defensively, we have seen, the stats bear out that Cousins, even if there are moments where he just stops caring, when he is actually playing defense and overall through the course of a game, his agility and his strength make him a plus defensive player. He's going to crush it on the glass. That's been such a major problem for the Pelicans. Now with Davis and Boogie going after the glass, that's going to be pretty crazy. So that's my take. I think they're actually a really good fit. You have some concerns.
So I think offensively, skill set wise, I think Cousins is a great passer. I think AD's improving and seeing the court better. Both could play in the low post, both could rim run, both could shoot the 18 to 20 footer and even out to 3-point range. Both have the ball handling to get past their guys one-on-one, even bring the ball. I mean, both guys could bring the ball up the court. So I think offensively, skill set-wise, we talked about a DeMarcus Cousins trade last year. This is something that's been a pipe dream, but we've talked about it and how these two would fit together. And, in thinking about that, I would go back in the past and try to find – two bigs with this high of usage. And when I'm talking about usage, do you know that right now Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins both have higher usage than Tim Duncan ever had in his career, than even Karl Malone ever had in his career? Can you imagine putting Karl Malone and Tim Duncan in their primes together, or even, higher usage than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar had, or what? I mean, you're talking about bigs that have usage that are historically, only trumped by guys like Wilt Chamberlain. And now you're putting two of them on the same team. That simply won't continue. Either both guys will have to sacrifice a little bit, or one will have to sacrifice a fair amount. And if it's me, from what I would do standpoint, I think that you ask Anthony Davis to take a pretty substantial drop in his usage, not going to, scrub level or whatever. But, I think dropping from 32, 33 usage to something like 25, 26, which is a considerable drop, I think that's what should happen. I think Davis should go back to his, cleaning up on the glass, being, an outlet guy, maybe getting higher usage when they, when they stagger and Cousins is off the court. But offensively, I think for this to really work, one of them's going to have to take a pretty significant step back. And in my opinion, it should be Davis.
Wow. You realize that Davis is an unbelievably efficient scorer, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, so, I mean, what would be your solution? Like I said, do you agree that these are all-time historically high-usage bigs, and there's no way they could keep at this level? So would you take...
I think both of them are going to have to take the effect. Like, the closest comparisons we have to this, really, are LeBron joining Wade in South Beach. Both of those guys had really high usage rates. I don't think they were as high as what Cousins has been this year. Cousins has been a ridiculous number this year. But both those guys had to mesh together, and both of them fell down to about 27%. Kobe and Shaq used to have the same kind of percentages, 27-28% each. And, you know, one guy averaged usually 28 points a game or 29 points a game. The other one would average 25. So I think you can go for that same sort of thing. This is the same. That's the same level of talent we're trying to mesh here. So you know, if they can both take a little bit of hits, like, it can't just help but like improve every. Like, holy cow, who's going to be able to guard both of those guys with their bigs? I can't think of a team that can do that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to imagine what offensive sets are now.
It is going to be a major, major work in progress. But
yeah,
cow.
I mean, Cousins does like to isolate a lot, either on the block or on the top. You know, I don't know if we're seeing screen and roll after screen and roll after screen and roll. I really think now is where, more than ever, Gentry has to earn his money. I really think staggering these guys and then also figuring out how to play them on the court. I mean, to me, I go back and forth. I know the smart fan always says stagger, 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 but there's also something very powerful to having your best players on the same court at the same time. You got 48 minutes in a game. Would you have one of these two guys on the court every single minute, and then that probably means they're only on the court together 12, 14 minutes a game? Or do you see them playing together a little bit more and then having 8, 10 minutes a game where they're not on the court, either of them?
So honestly, I'm not sure where they're going to go. You'd want to stagger them eventually, but to be honest, when I got them together, I would probably try to make sure they were playing like 32 minutes a game together every night for like the next month. I would even if it meant that we get crushed in the minutes where they're both off the court, I kind of would be doing that anyways. I just got to get those two guys to figure out how they work together and see what it means. But I think in the long term, yeah, I mean, it is the classic, hey, you have Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, and Griffin is perfectly capable of running an offense, so why don't you stagger them as much as possible? And everybody laughs at you if you don't. So I'll probably be laughing at Alvin Gentry if that's, you know, in a month from now he's not staggering them so that there's always one of those guys on the court crushing fools. I just said my team is going to be crushing fools. You still there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was just listening to AD talk about it. He seems pretty happy. He got 52 points, and also DeMarcus Cousins now, so it seems like a pretty happy guy.
We had to break our last podcast that got canceled for this because Anthony Davis, because the All-Star MVP, scored 52 points in one of the lamest All-Star games I've ever watched. Can you imagine what Davis is thinking right now?
Oh no, again. Buddy Hield to him, I know he was a high draft pick to us and somebody we like in college, but he was Buddy Hield was a guy who was an all right little role player and basically gave up him, Tyreke Evans, who has just been a train wreck in some ways since he got back and frustrating, and then Langston Galloway, who was getting a bunch of DMPs. Basically, he's seeing that walk out the door and Cousins come in with Caspi, so... Yeah, I imagine he's really happy. To me, the guy that I think could suffer the most from all this is obviously Jrue Holiday. You know, he's been ultra aggressive lately. I think Cousins could take a lot off his shoulders, but he's been playing a lot of pick and roll. He's been facilitating, getting the guys the ball. You know, Cousins has had issues in the past with his point guards, didn't like Isaiah because, you know, he was shooting and scoring too much. It sounds like the only point guard he's really liked is Collison at times when he was getting him the ball. So to me, I don't worry as much about Davis and Cousins. I think they'll figure it out. I really do think for several reasons Davis is going to take a step back. I mean, you know, he's younger than Cousins. I think Davis looks at Cousins the way that Karl-Anthony Towns looks at Davis. And I think that even though this is AD's team, I do think that he would be willing to take a step back, at least initially, to accommodate Cousins. And, you know, because Cousins is the older guy and the more volatile guy. I just really wonder what this does for Jrue Holiday's game. Could you make any cases that this could be an improvement for Holiday?
So he's definitely going to have better screen set for him. I don't know if it actually makes a huge difference to Holiday's game, except for the fact that we have seen Holiday in the past willing to step back and let other people run things more, which is why it's good that Tyreek's being sent out as part of this trade, is that there is no longer any more of the, hey, Tyreek's on the floor, I need to let him have his turns. This is Jrue Holiday's game. But, like, Jrue basically feels like he's been stepping up his aggression. He's realizing he's the second best player. He's got to attack more often. And he may take a step back here and say, hey, I don't need to attack anymore. And this team is at the best when it's getting penetration off the dribble, not penetration off of post-ups. It's hard to get, like, real defenses cracked when you're just posting a guy up. So it is possible that Jrue will take a step back and that will actually hurt this team's offense a little bit. But I don't necessarily buy it, because the other team is now in a matchup nightmare. And that's what I was saying before, is I can't think of, other than maybe not, I can't even, San Antonio can't even do this. Utah. Utah is maybe the only team I can think of that has two bigs that are capable of chasing both of these guys and giving them any sort of trouble. And because always before, you can just say, we're going to put our best big man defender or our most athletic guy on Davis, and the rest, we don't have to worry about the rest of this team. Dante Cunningham's not killing us. But now DeMarcus Cousins is going to devour whoever's guarding him. So teams are going to have to put their best perimeter lengthy guy on Davis, their strongest guy on Cousins, and that means that Jrue Holiday is now free to go. So if Gentry earns his money and basically points this out and says, look, guys, they're committing 100% defending two of you, Jrue Holiday is going to have, like, Kawhi Leonard can't guard him anymore. He's got to guard Davis. You know, Jrue should be able to do what he wants.
Yeah, and we're talking a lot about the offense. Is there any chance the Pelicans' defense just got better today as well?
Oh, absolutely. Like, so Davis is 100% capable of chasing any stretch four, as long as he's not having to worry about getting back to the paint, because he is the only capable paint defender. And Cousins is a capable paint defender. And I say that 100% aware that multiple times in the past I have watched plays where Cousins will just stand there and watch. But if Cousins, like, actually plays hard, and in a lot of games, like, that is one play out of, you know, 80, if he plays hard, he's actually a pretty damn good defender. I could see that this team would wall off the paint. Let's just put it this way. When Davis and Oshik were in there together, playing together, the Pelicans' defense has historically been pretty good. Is there any chance that DeMarcus Cousins isn't an improvement defensively over Omer Oshik?
No, not anymore. I mean, I guess the only question now is, do we beat the Warriors in 5 or 6? How many is it?
We got to ask that. What is the Pelicans with the team as we know it? So, let's rattle through that. That center, we now have 87 million centers. We have
Cousins, this Oshik, another deal has to get done.
Okay. So we have Cousins, Oshik, and Ajinsa. That power forward.
Well, okay, I guess it depends what positions you count him at, but go ahead.
At power forward, we have Davis, Cunningham, I guess Diallo. Am I missing someone at power forward?
Jones and Montezunas.
Holy cow. Jones and Montezunas. At small forward, we have Solo and Omri Kaspi.
Right.
At shooting guard, we have Etuan Moore. I think we have Etuan Moore. And at point guard, we have Drew and Tim Frazier, my boy.
Yeah, which is kind of confusing to me because if the Kings are just going to cut Galloway, I don't know why, A, we couldn't have kept him, and B, like, why he needed to be in the deal. I really don't understand that part, but, you know, I guess there's some reasoning behind it, but, man, it would have been really nice to keep Galloway in this deal and maybe give them Cunningham to make salaries work or whatever. It makes me think that the Pelicans have some other deals lined up with bigs for guard, like they would have to. So if now you're looking at the roster and you're looking at all these plethora of bigs, first of all, who would you want to be your third big and your fourth big on this team of all the guys that they have?
It is kind of a giant mass of people. So me, it's the same too. It's Terrence Jones and Donatas Matajunas.
So that means you would have Ajinsa, Cunningham, Ashik, you know, that you obviously want to get rid of and you want.
Yeah, and you know what's going to really happen guard here is Solomon Hill is going to end up being shooting guard. Dante Cunningham's going to play small forward with Kaspi. And actually, so let's ask that question. Like, our wing is now desperately thin with only more available at shooting guard. Is Solomon Hill is he able to be a shooting guard? Can he defend shooting guards? Because that's really the question you're asking. You don't ask if he can play offensively at shooting guard, because we know our shooting guard just needs to shoot threes, and he does that, if not at a great rate.
Yeah.
Can he defend shooting guards?
Yeah, I'm sure, but, I mean, he wouldn't defend starting. I mean, Ethan Moore is definitely starting at the two. It just really comes down to bench, and can he do it? Yeah, you could probably play Drew. I mean, I know they like playing Drew with Frazier, so you could play Drew at the two with Frazier, but you know there's got to be more guards coming. I wouldn't even be surprised if they just trade off some of the – or do they have – they have roster spots now, right?
Yeah, they do. Ramona Shelburne is reporting that Nola is reaching out to Quinn Cook.
That's exactly who I was going to say. Man, I would have looked so much smarter if you would have just let me finish instead of interrupting me.
Sorry.
But yeah, Quinn Cook was in camp with us. He actually won. This is so sad that I watched it. He won the D-League MVP in the D-League All-Star game. So, yeah, that was a guy. My wife was actually watching that game, and she asked me, like, why you know, he wasn't on an NBA team. He's in camp with us. He'll be with us eventually. So, yeah, that would make total sense. But I still think you've got to trade at least one of these bigs, get yourself another shooting guard. But Quinn Cook is a guy I liked.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still, like, just absorbing.
I mean, you want to hear ballsy from Dell Demps is I mean, I think it was a great deal overall, just him being able to pull this off. It just makes me – I can't wait to hear what some of the other offers on the table were for Boogie. Just can't wait. But, I think they've got to get some more small – I mean, their roster is just so top-heavy and loaded. And then even moving forward, like – you know there's no way you're going to re-sign Montezunas and Terrence Jones now, so why not try to flip one of them for something that you could need now or in the future? But, yeah, they're not going to have any picks in 2017 except for their own second rounder, so I'm sure that'll be interesting waiting till pick 44 next year.
Yeah. So I will say that this offseason just became a whole lot more boring. I was looking forward to I actually this week I opened up Draft Express and started reading about like guys like Lauri Markkanen or whatever his name is. Like, I started to just absorb players, and now I can't do that anymore because we have to have Boogie Cousins on our team.
Yeah, but I mean, even a guy like that would have been out of our range when we were picking 11 or 12. Like, I like this draft. I like some of the top prospects. And if it's true that this pick is top three protected, I guess we still have an outside shot at them. But I it's not super deep. It has very good prospects at the top. But, you know, if the Pelicans were on the path that they were looking to continue on and picking 12 and 13, I don't think it would have been that exciting anyway. And I'm telling you, there still might be some excitement. You pull off a trade like this and Gentry doesn't win or doesn't get them into the playoffs, I think it's a slam dunk that they have a new coach going into next year, and we could be talking about, you know, Calipari level. So I think there still could be some drama next year. Let's say they do get Quinn Cook, but they want to trade one or two of their bigs for something on the wing. What are the skill sets that you're looking for? I mean, what do you think? Let's say we get to start from scratch. What would you want to put around Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins?
Well, obviously shooting. That's going to be the number one thing, is you got to have the guys. You can't allow a team to sell out and send everybody and pack the paint on those two. Because we clearly need to get the ball into the paint to make it work. So that everyone knows where the ball is going, which is why Drew's going to have to be willing to run free. So you're going to need to have shooters who are going to make them pay when they do that, because they're going to have to. So like Langston Galloway, that would be a good choice. I like Langston Galloway. I don't even know what's available right now at this point. Like, if you call up, you know, we mentioned this before. If you call up the Orlando Magic, can you maybe steal away Evan Fournier from them?
I mean, I don't think you have the salaries to match. I mean, it would have to be something small, like a Terrence Jones for Marcus Thornton, or no. I'm trying to think of a team, though, seriously, that needs bigs and might have, you know, a plethora of backup shooters to give away. But I mean, it's going to be something very small.
Right.
Again, I think they like Etuan Moore, and I think Etuan Moore now on this team. Again, you're talking about shooters, you know, talking about role players and guys who are going to play defense. Like, Etuan Moore was a better player than Buddy Hield. They were starting Buddy Hield because they didn't want to keep moving him back and forth, and they were
Moore
trying
finished. To finish.
Yeah, Moore was the better player. He was their the Pelicans basically traded their backup shooting guard and two guys who occasionally played, you know, for arguably, I mean, is it even debatable to say that Cousins is a top three big in the league? He is, right? Would people say are the top three bigs? Davis, Cousins, and
Cat.
Not yet. I mean, the guy didn't even make the All-Star game.
Gobert. Marc Gasol.
Yeah, probably Gasol. Yeah, I'd feel comfortable with those three. So, yeah, I mean, I'm thinking, you know, little backup shooters. Like I said, I think they signed Quinn Cook. I think Drew Holiday played some backup shooting guard. But, yeah, you just go out and find, you know, a couple of – I mean – he ain't playing well in Oklahoma City. Why not just go get Anthony Morrow? You know, I'm sure you could get him for, you know, Montajunas or.
Well, and Enes Kanter is out there, so you could easily. Terrence Jones?
Yeah, Terrence Jones, Montajunas, Cunningham. I mean, to me, the weirdest part of this trade is that, again, they could have made it work without including Galloway, which makes. And the Kings don't want Galloway.
So, what I will say here, though, is they also don't look like they want any future salary. And I think Galloway does have only a partial guarantee for next year.
Right, but I mean, Dante Cunningham could have been the same thing. or you could have been.
They have to play Dante at small forward. Sorry, they need the small forward with this trade. Yeah, you're right. You're right. There are some things, but honestly, if you're Dell Demps and you have this offer on the table, are you really going to call it back and say, nah, we want to keep Galloway and you have to take Dante? Or are you just like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Like, you can't agree faster and just hoping no one else calls up and says, we could have offered this to you.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's fine. Like I said, I think you will be hearing in the next 24, 48, 72, whatever, that Terrence Jones or, you know, Agüero or somebody will be moved for a shooting guard. It just makes too much sense. Just, you know, wondering what kinds of guys that would be out there that, you know, would be interesting. But I think you're right. I think you're just looking for knockdown shooters, guys that, you know, could come up the bench and occasionally get hot. But yeah, it's still a little hard to completely process this trade.
Yeah. Any sadness to see Tyreek go?
No, zero. Like I said, I mean, the only guy I feel somewhat bad for is I do feel a little bad for Buddy. I think he's a great guy. I don't know if it would have worked here. You know, I thought he had potential, obviously, and was going to be a good player in time. But now he's got to go to that cesspool. Like, ugh.
Any chance that we see a starting backcourt of Frazier, Holiday, and Moore around the two bigs?
Frazier, Holiday, and Moore?
Nah, they like Solo. They'll keep him in there.
Here's a name for you. Would you go out and you give up expiring contracts for Nick Young? For the swag man?
No.
Shooting 41% from three right now?
I don't like Nick Young. I wouldn't do that. Lou Williams, I'd do that.
Oh, they're actually going to get something for him.
Right.
Tony Snell?
No.
I mean, Ryan, you're not trying to find an all-star. You're
Snell is, like, so up and down. It's like he is.
40% from threes, made 95 of them this year. Ugh. You know, I mean, you're not going to go get a star for Terrence Jones, buddy.
I know.
Relax a little bit.
We need to get Dion Waiters.
But he's a star.
That's true. He is a star down in Miami now.
You're not getting a star. I'm trying to think of, you know, you could go get the guy who just won the three-point contest, Eric Gordon. That made me sick, by the way.
Yes. I actually can't believe we didn't bring this up earlier.
I don't even want to talk about it.
That was probably one of my most disgusted moments. I turned off the TV and walked away. I can't stand that dude. I'm sorry. I cannot stand him. And in fact, the first game we play against Houston is against Houston. I mean,
I hope Cousins runs him over.
So that's another thing. Like, our level of toughness just went up significantly, wouldn't you say? Like, when we play against teams like Memphis, or we play against teams like with PJ Tucker on Phoenix, it always feels like there are guys who just muscle the crap out of the Pelicans, and the Pelicans can sometimes handle it, but sometimes they can't. With Cousins around, do you feel like that's going to happen very often anymore?
No, I mean, this is, to me, the biggest overall question is, does Cousins affect the locker room more than the team and its culture affects Cousins? Because, you know, Uncle Alvin Gentry is just a nice old guy. You know, he doesn't really put his foot down. You know, Ermin yells and screams a lot, but he's like 12 pounds.
Right.
Like, who on that coaching staff really gets Cousins' respect? If I had to guess,
Pack.
The only guy that could is, yeah, Robert Pack.
Robert Pack, just, I remember that video of him just flooring some dude in Europe.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Robert Pack has some connections. I could just see him bringing Boogie down to the ninth ward and just like leaving him there overnight and as his punishment, trying to survive. So yeah, I think Pack maybe. I think Solomon Hill is going to try to be, you know, talking a lot, whatever. But like, how, you know, much respect is Cousins going to have for Solomon Hill? And then Anthony Davis, like I said, I think their relationship is Cousins is definitely the bigger brother. So I think it's mostly going to be on Cousins to be self-reflective and go, okay, something went wrong. And even when I got traded, all I got traded for was this garbage. I mean, if he's self-reflected, if he does that, and if he does what basically Zach Randolph did a couple years ago of just step up his maturity, but with even five times the talent that Zach Randolph has, this could be the steal of the decade, or it could legitimately go the other way.
And he is capable, like, he'll be on this team this year and next year, but he can opt out at the end of next season or just and walk away.
Yeah, and I mean, he is now with the new rules, though, they can't give him the 35%, but they could give him a full extension and he's extension eligible. You know, and you would have to think AD would have to sign off on this, because if he does get the extension, Cousins will be significantly paid more than Anthony Davis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever. So they could do that. And if Cousins just says no to the extension, they could probably turn around and trade him, and I don't think they'd get much less than what they just gave up. So I don't think it's a very high-risk proposition, especially after this little winning streak anyway, and you're probably looking at 11, 12, 13 pick if you don't trade for him. So it kind of makes sense in that aspect. It's just, you know, it's interesting to see if Cousins comes from this and matures, or if he winds up infecting the locker room a little more.
That is my number one worry. All the stories we've heard have been not good about what happens behind the scenes with when DeMarcus Cousins is in one of his moods.
Yeah. Yeah, but so, I mean, let's assume the best for now. And, you know, he does well. The Pelicans are in an interesting situation. Again, if they could – my goal right now, I think it's wishful thinking to get Omir off the books. But if you could get – Ajints off the books now and, you know, whatever, Cunningham opts out and you're not re-signing any of these other bigs anyway because you don't need them anymore. And then you could stretch Ashiq this summer. Like, really, you're going into the summer with Anthony Davis at about $25 million or so. Drew Holiday, you know, just his cap hold. And then Cousins only at 18, which I say only, but that really is a bargain. And then some other guy, like, it's not absolutely insane to think that if they made the right set of moves, that they could actually be a player for somebody else before they re-sign Drew, or, you know, they just stay with Solomon Hill and Etuan Moore, but could somewhat fill out the roster. And then you do that and you re-sign Holiday and give Cousins an extension.
Yeah.
This, you know, the roster could be pretty impressive if this is played right. So what do you see moving forward? What would be your plan as the GM?
I'll be honest. I am still absorbing this. I don't know if I have a coherent plan put together in my head at this moment. And I also, I understand that the idea is to get outside of the big three, another major piece that can help them. I just don't know if I would do that.
Well, even if not, would you feel comfortable paying these three $85 to $90 million a year? If I could say you do that and you'll just be able to keep them moving forward, would you be fine essentially signing Drew to a max this year and then Cousins a max extension?
Well, that's where we get to the next phase, is that trio, are they a real contender? Are they a pseudo contender? Are they not even a contender? Are those three guys as impactful as the Clippers big three? Because that's essentially, like, everything that you hear about the Clippers these days is, oh, they're struggling to put somebody around the big three they've got there. J.J. Redick's a good piece, but they're just struggling to get that fifth guy and that sixth guy and so on. And that's essentially where the Pelicans will be, but they'll even be in a little bit of a worse situation because they're going to be maxed out at bigger numbers than what the Clippers currently, well, the Clippers will be shortly, but right now they're not. You have to really think hard, but in my opinion, you're not going to get a chance at this kind of thing very often. Like, I agree 100% with the fact that the Clippers just need to ride things out with those three guys and not trade them. Don't trade your all-star talent for anything unless it's coming back equal as good all-star talent. So I'd say, yeah, just re-sign these guys unless you look at them and, you know, if Cousins becomes a cancer, then you need to, you know, figure out something else. If, you know, if Jrue Holiday has more injuries, you got to figure something out then. But at this point, you have your hands on two confirmed all-stars and one pseudo all-star player. And you just need to keep your hands on them as long as you possibly can.
Yeah. And I mean, theoretically, you're underpaying in reality, you're underpaying Davis these next 2, 3, 4 years. So, you know, even if you're overpaying Jrue a little bit or, I don't think this three, again, the Golden State four just fits so beautifully in their high IQ players and, you know, have the right kind of intangibles. If those guys stay together, you're never really pushing them.
Yeah, but so let's just think about this realistically.
I wasn't saying that was a bad thing. I'm just saying,
If Draymond Green breaks a leg right before the playoffs. It can happen. People break legs.
Is he on Broadway? Yeah, okay.
He breaks a leg right before the playoffs. Are you 100% certain that that trio is taking that team all the way to the end every time?
No, I mean, nothing's 100% certain. I'm just saying, you know, the Pelicans have just acquired a lot of talent, and now I'm starting to forget, like, which podcast I gave analogies on, so whatever. But this talent doesn't fit perfectly. Like, right. It fits okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's still going to be some issues with it. And amongst these three guys, I don't really see a high IQ guy. I don't see a guy who I say, yeah, I want that guy to be my leader and lead men. I don't see a guy who I'm 100% comfortable with the ball in his hand at the end of the game. Like, there's a lot of other things. We could just talk about pure talent. We could go to pure box score and look at all those things. But those three things I just named are pretty big things.
Yeah.
And of all the talent that they have amongst those guys, they don't have still any of that. Now, you know, maybe Davis grows. Maybe Davis goes back to being the clutch guy he was 2 years ago when he had more talent. But I don't see this team as a, you know, I don't even think that these three fit as well and are as good as CP3, Blake, and DeAndre in their prime. Even though you could say Davis is better than Blake, Cousins better than DeAndre, those guys just fit well together. They had two really smart guys, and then they had, you know, one guy who you would kill to have the ball in his hands and, you know, trust with your life with the ball in his hands at the end of games. So I don't even think that they're guaranteed to be at that, what we've seen from the Clippers the last couple years. I still think that they're going to have to find one or two pieces that they kind of pull out of nowhere that bring them to that level, similar to what, like, Boston did when they just lucked into Rajon Rondo.
Right. Yeah. But you know what? I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Like, considering what we've been living through the last 5 years,
Oh, I agree. I mean, you and I had sent a couple emails back and forth last week of, oh, if this Jahlil Okafor trade goes through, do you want to do a podcast? Like, that's where we were at even 10 days ago.
Yeah.
And I was miserable about that trade. Like, to me, that would have done nothing for me. I honestly wouldn't even have wanted him for expiring contracts. That's how bad it was for me. And now we're talking about, oh, they just, you know, put together potentially the best two offensive bigs to ever play side by side in the history of the NBA. Let's see how this goes. So
you realize earlier in the season, the Pistons offered Andre Drummond for DeMarcus Cousins?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They turned that down.
Yeah. Now the Kings have our 2017 pick, and the official word right now is still, that's it, our 2017 pick and the Philly 2017 second rounder. That's it as far as draft considerations go. So we have all of our picks going forward after this draft. They have all of their picks like already traded in like 2019, and like they have this trade basically gets them to where they should be. So their net gain for DeMarcus Cousins is we have an average number of assets and a crappy team.
Yeah, and I mean before they had a picture of, I mean they had a really good player who, you know, was temperamental on a crappy team. So it's just a different kind of crap. It's like when I went from my regular life to Metamucil. But they took the best trade. I mean, I don't really care to explain it from them. The thing I worry about is when you give a player away from this for this, you know, were they just fed up and they just said, get him out of here? Or was there something else behind the scene? Or what was it? Because, I mean, they were in the media a week ago saying that that you could print it. They're not trading DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, I actually have a feeling that they probably were exploring trading DeMarcus Cousins for the past month, and that was an attempt to get people to raise their offers.
Yeah. Or here's the other possibility. Is there a chance, because it sounds like the Kings have been in love with Buddy Hield for a while, and even when he was gone, they traded the pick. That's who they wanted. Is there a chance that they see something that even, you know, none of us don't, and Buddy Hield becomes the best player in this trade?
So if that happens, I'll be very sad. But
I mean, I remember coming into the season, you said the thing you were most excited about was even if we're losing, you'll get to see Buddy Hield play.
Mm-hmm. It's true. So, and I'll be honest, I enjoy watching Buddy play. I know he's got a loose handle, and that I 100% state there's two things that keep Buddy from being a star in this league. One is his handle, and one is he has no grasp of doing like the little trick moves around the rim to get his shot off against these big guys. Like you watch Isaiah Thomas, he's got a million different ways of like smashing his body into guys at the rim to knock them back or off his back, and he extends his arms way out past their reach. Buddy has none of those abilities. So if he can develop those two things, I actually think he has a chance to be a star, but those are two really hard things to learn.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think on the last pod, I said, if we're all being really honest with ourselves, you know, it's very hard to see him become a star. And
well, so let's do this realistically. Our number one, both of us settled on this. Our number one ceiling comparison for Buddy Hield was J.J. Redick.
I said that if everything went absolutely right, he could be Mitch Richmond.
Okay.
But then again, how good would Mitch Richmond be? I mean, like Mitch Richmond wasn't ultra quick or athletic. He was just a really good shooting guard in an era where there weren't good shooting guards.
Right.
So I don't even know if Mitch Rich, I know he put up better stats, but I don't know.
Wasn't he traded for Chris Webber?
Yeah.
From Sacramento?
If you look back then, there were like five good, it was like Jordan and then a huge drop off. And the debate always was who's the second best shooting guard. And it was like Richmond, Reggie Miller, there was a couple.
Drexler,
but then once you got to like the sixth or seventh best shooting guard, you were talking like Bobby Phils. Like it was bad. So I thought he could be that player, but there's no way he was going to be, you know, an immense difference maker in every, I mean, he's just so limited in the explosive type things. And I think why people fell in love with him, and the reason why I think there's no way he fails, is because of the work ethic. But, you know, that becomes a story usually because, you know, the guys who are just doing great things, nobody talks about their work ethic because it doesn't matter, because they're talking about the great things they're doing. So I wish the best for Buddy, but I think that they were in love with Buddy. I know Atlanta, for example, was another team that was, and I guess in retrospect, it was good that that the Pelicans took Buddy, even though I would have taken Jamal Murray every time. It looks like Buddy paid off for him.
All right, so I need to ask two tactical questions then. First one, what does having DeMarcus Cousins report to this team tomorrow mean for the rest of the season? Do they are 2.5 games back behind Denver for the eighth spot. Does this put a fire under Denver to make a move? And B, can they take Denver out? Do they have a real good chance of this? What do you think? What is your call?
I mean, I think, first of all, they play Denver 3 times in March. So if they win all 3 of those, then, you know, they're in the driver's seat. If they lose all 3, it's going to be almost impossible to climb. They got 25 games left. I thought going into the All-Star break that if they go 15-10 after the All-Star break, then it's, you know, it's definite that they would make the playoffs. 14-11, it's close, and it comes down to tiebreaker, whatever. So can they go 15-10? It's, you know, people talked about how it was going to take a while for Golden State to work out the kinks, and like these teams have entire training camps to try to figure out how to put this stuff together, and it still takes them a month or 2 months into the season until they figure out. The Pelicans have no training camp and basically are going to have to figure it out.
And no guards anymore.
See, I'm not as worried. I really like Frazier as a player. He was just in a numbers crunch. I mean, not he, really like
he's,
him.
He's my boy.
He's a solid backup guard. Mm-hmm. Quinn Cook was a guy who I wanted the team to sign for a while, so I'm happy there. And I really believe you're going to see a Terrence Jones, a Cunning, whatever. So you will get another guard or two on this roster.
I should mention this. I think it was Shelbourne again. Ramona Shelbourne was mentioning that a conversation has happened between Dell Demps and Terrence Jones' camp, and they are mutually looking for a landing place for Terrence Jones because Jones realizes he's not going to get minutes anymore.
Yeah, no, I mean, it makes sense. And to me, you got Monta Junis, you got Dante Cunningham, and even Ajinsa showed you that he's not absolutely terrible as your fourth or fifth big.
Yes, he is.
Whatever, he's a quasi-elite fifth big.
It doesn't matter, we have DeMarcus Cousins as a center.
Yeah. But yeah, so I mean Terrence Jones again. I'm telling you, I'm trying to look around and trying to figure it out. I don't know how many guys, you know, fit what they might be looking for, and I'm telling you, Dell Demps has liked him in the past. I know for a fact tried to sign him once, and that's Nick Young. And I'm sure the Lakers would like to get rid of him and move him on for some other guys' salaries.
He's on expiring, isn't he?
I also wonder, remember a while ago there was that, you know, get Carmelo Anthony and basically we send Omer Asik out and get Jamal Crawford in? That would look good all of it. I mean, imagine now Jamal Crawford as your your gunner coming off the bench and you're scoring. I mean, guys like that wouldn't be absolutely insane if stuff went down. But yeah, the only downside with Nick Young is he has a player option next year for like $5.6 million. But if it's an extra million, if it was Terrence Jones and Ajinsa for Nick Young, you would definitely say no?
Nah, I'd still do it. I don't think Nick Young is going to fit into the defensive thing. I don't think it's going to help you that much. But, like, they need bodies in those positions, and you're not giving up anything that you're going to be using anyways. And that was kind of, there are these trades out there, like when people were mentioning Jahlil Okafor, and it wasn't even like that high of a draft pick. It was pretty well protected. I was always just like, well, you know, if you're giving away almost nothing, what does it really matter? Like, just try it. So if that's the case for Nick Young, if it's really Terrence Jones and Ajinsa, then yeah, sure, why not? But I don't know why the Lakers would take, because that's additional money they're taking on. Ajinsa's got years after this.
Yeah, no, I mean, it'd be really nice right now to have our boy Sean Kilpatrick.
You're going to trade Terrence Jones to Brooklyn for Sean Kilpatrick?
I'm just trying to think. I mean, the tough part is that there aren't many teams that are, like, looking to tank.
Right.
So really finding these guys, you know, with a Terrence Jones to a third team, a second-round pick to Brooklyn, and then Joe Harris to the Pelicans work. You know, can you get a Bojan Bogdanovic from – I mean, there's really a limited number of teams.
Phoenix for Brandon Knight. Of course, they're going to be looking to –
Why are you trying to have these high payroll guys?
Coming up with
you're
guys.
Looking for a 12-minute, a 15-minute a game guy, and you're trying to spend $15 million on it. Man, I hope your wife controls your budget at the house.
She does.
No,
I'm just looking at teams at the bottom. Let's see. Minnesota Timberwolves. Timberwolves have anything we want? Shabazz?
They do have if they let Lance Stephenson go, I mean – Lance Stephenson is a guy you could bring back for the rest of the year.
I don't believe that they were planning on re-signing him because he sprained his ankle. Yeah, so they were going to wait to see how that works out before bringing him back.
If you bring back Lance, sign Quinn Cook, and then trade Terrence Jones for another backup type, I mean, like I said, I do not think by any stretch that it was a coincidence that Galloway was included in this deal. I think for sure that the Pelicans have other stuff lined up at guard because it just doesn't make sense for him to be included in this deal if Sacramento doesn't want him.
Yeah. It looks like Sacramento will want to be delaying this trade a little bit to try to clear up a roster spot. So maybe they want to keep Galloway. And they're just looking to figure out if they can move someone before they have to waive him.
Okay.
We haven't talked about him. Am I wrong in saying that Omri Caspi right now today, not future, but right now today, might be the second best player in this trade?
I mean, he hasn't really played at all this year. So, I mean, last year's version of Caspi, yeah, probably. It's just been a real weird season. I mean, he's only appeared in 22 games, so I don't know how much of it's injury and then how much of it is just DMPs and him not getting along with the coach. But, yeah, that's to be answered. But, yeah, the guy that we saw the last 2 years I think could definitely be a better player than Buddy Hield.
Yeah, because last year he averaged 11.6 rebounds in 27 minutes, which isn't – that's okay. But he also shot 40% from downtown. He's shooting 38% from downtown in the limited minutes he got this year. So is he going to be worse than Dante Cunningham? Probably not.
Right, but you're talking about who's better and who's worse. If they're both on the roster and healthy, which player is this coaching staff going to play?
Dante Cunningham, of course. Right.
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 So that doesn't even matter unless Cunningham is moved or they move so many bigs that they got to play both of those guys.
They're not moving Cunningham.
Yeah, I still think clearly the issue is at is at shooting guard right now. And yeah, I mean, Lance is a possibility if he comes back, but I would really be scouring to see what you could get for Jones and or anybody else. It's just
they got three more days to figure it out.
Yeah, there's not many teams that are just dying. And then what other assets do we have? Right, I mean, we have our own second round pick.
Unless they're trading future assets, which I'd be surprised if they do at this point without waiting till the summer and seeing how things settle. Because, let's be honest, like, this is a huge move. You're going to go out and you're going to try to fit guys in around the pieces like you're saying. Like, small moves, find guys to fit holes, hope, see how it plays out. If you make the eighth seed, great. You make the eighth seed, you play in the playoffs. But really, the real retooling now at this point has to happen this offseason, correct?
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, you really gotta, it's obviously all on the wings now, and you've gotta figure out, you know, I think you want low usage guys, at least one low usage guy. I mean, if Solomon Hill played exactly how he played in the month of February so far, mm-hmm. we're talking about a 40% 3-point shooter, an efficient guy, I think 65% effective field goal percentage, like, that would almost be the perfect small forward for this team. So if he keeps playing that way, and then, you know, do you really see Twan Moore as Rajah Bell? And if so, you know, now are you looking at just backups, or do you want to move one of those guys to the backup spot? So now you're looking for a starter. So, I think it'll be interesting to see that. And I think we could be in a place where our starting five, and this might be the first time in a while, wouldn't you agree that our starting five and our finishing five will be exactly the same for the rest of the year?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's rare for us.
Right, again,
when was the last time you can remember that happening?
Because let's just think about it. Like, there's no question Davis and Boogie are going to be there, right? And no question Drew. So those are... The only other options now are those two wing positions. And Solomon Hill, we know this training staff loves his defensive versatility. If you watch any game, they freely switch Drew and Solomon Hill off of whoever is the best offensive player. And they view them as interchangeable defensively. So both those guys are probably going to be on the floor, which means that it's just the Etuan Moore position. And if you need a shooter, Moore can shoot. Galloway's not an option anymore, so he's the only one who's possibly going to take that spot. Heald, they weren't going to give those minutes to, really. So unless Tim Frazier is balling out of his mind, or Quinn Cook is, like, that's our finishing five. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's actually a five that fits pretty well together. Like, you'd always like to take Solomon Hill and improve him and make him a better player, or get, like, maybe a little more creativity and the ball handling out of our shooting guard. Of course you want that. But as far as a five, that's not bad. That's a pretty solid starting five. And you've had conversations multiple times with me when you were in your, like, real, real sour mood, or you would say realistic mood, where you're like, hey, this team... Well, we probably have the first or second best player on the floor, and then the next best player is number nine. We can now legitimately say against almost every team that's not the Golden State Warriors that we probably have three of the best eight guys on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that's possible. I really think they could all fit, like you said. I mean, Hill, when he has space, could get downhill and get to the rim. He can't be creative and sidestep defenders or, you know, really do any of that. But
unless he's being guarded by Vince Carter.
Yeah. Etuan Moore has a nice little in-between game. Mm-hmm. I really think that they fit together. And I'm trying to think of those five players. Who would you say, I ask you, in your instant reaction, who's the worst defender out of those five players?
Moore.
And he's a good defender.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he can be overpowered sometimes.
Yeah, Yeah, and I mean, if you want to eventually move him back, I mean, the shooting guard crop isn't that impressive. But if you really want to try to win now, what if you go and you sign J.J. Redick this summer? Really put some shooting around. Not a good defender, but a smart defender.
Right.
You know, somebody like that. So it could be interesting. I'm curious to see what they do with these couple moves here. But, you know, another guy I wouldn't mind seeing them get in a trade. Boston needs rebounding, but if they just want another big and they want to get Terrence Jones, I would do a Terrence Jones for Gerald Green swap.
Mm-hmm. Like, you always liked Green.
I would love just a gunner off the bench. You know,
Randy Foy is probably available. He's in Brooklyn.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think there's things could be done. It's going to be hard because the teams that are just giving players away, they're probably going to want assets, and we don't really have those. What you would really ideally want is a team that really wants Terrence Jones as a backup big and that has shooters willing to spare, but that's going to be hard to find. So,
could you probably, I know Jeremy Lamb is out of favor in Charlotte. Any chance we could go after him?
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of guys. You got Sasha Vucevic in New York.
Because Charlotte struggles pretty badly when Zeller's down and they don't have any big men who can create their own shot.
So. You know, Brian Roberts is out there.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I would really, I know he's struggling this year.
You know who I feel a little bad for on Thursday? Brian Anderson. He's going to have to guard Anthony Davis or Boogie Cousins.
I love it. I would be happy with you'd have to figure out how to make the salary, maybe Terrence Jones and somebody else for an Anthony Morrow. Like, I know he's struggling, but. I really liked him here. Brandon Rush is a guy that Dell has tried to go in the past, and Minnesota don't really need him. A Brandon Rush for Dante Cunningham trade wouldn't be crazy.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple of chances out there, but whatever. These are all, you know, little moves here and there. They've got three studs now. I feel confident calling Drew Holiday a stud the way he's been playing lately. It's really going to be how those guys play together and how others play off of them.
Yeah. All right, so I guess we're just going to have to absorb this next few days. We'll probably have another podcast before the games start up again, just because I'm sure there's going to be more fallout like we've been talking about the whole time. I do want to get this out there just – because I enjoyed talking to you about it earlier. Non-basketball, we're now very excited because we have this trade, and we're all thinking about the great possibilities and not the fact that Boogie Cousins is going to come in and poison the locker room and everybody's going to hate this place and leave. That's beside the point. What are you excited about coming out, like movies-wise, coming up here? I got one that I'm very excited for, and I'm pretty sure you do too. You feel in the what is it? Guardians of the Galaxy 2? You a Groot fan?
No, not I. That's one movie. There's movies that when they make it, I get it, but I don't like it. But I understand how they could be somebody else's cup of tea. I totally don't get the Guardians of the Galaxy phenomenon. My guess is that people were tired of like the really serious superhero movies, so like this came at the right time and provided levity, but I don't get that. But
it's got Vin Diesel in it. He says I am Groot in that movie a bunch of times.
No, the answer to your question is the answer to life, and that's there's another Fast and Furious movie coming out. It's The Fate of the Furious. There's going to be a freaking submarine in it. Last time with seven
is it gonna is it gonna fly over somebody's head? Or something like it's going to launch out of the water, the submarine?
Yeah, it's actually launching out of ice water. So it's like in the Arctic. It's in the Arctic. I can't believe you haven't seen this yet. It's in the Arctic, and they're driving on the ice, and they're like getting away, they think, from the bad guy. And all of a sudden, the submarine comes out from out of the ice water and pops up as they're driving on the ice, and they're like, "Oh shoot!" And they've gotta try to
evade it.
They've gotta try to get away from that.
That's right, because submarines in ice they work well.
Of course. So yeah, last year, just for a little context, I had my wife drop me off at the movie theater. They actually had a marathon of all seven Furiouses playing back to back to back, leading up to the debut of the new one, and that was
That's like 14 hours, right?
Yeah, and there was me and three other dudes in there. I didn't feel like the biggest winner at the time, but you know, it is what it is, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And if the movie theater is going to be doing that again this year, I will go see all eight movies this year. So that is what I am excited about. How about you?
I am excited because when I was 15, 16 year olds, I discovered Wolverine, the comic book. And I absolutely loved that comic. It was the biggest nerd moment of my life. Made me collect almost my entire paycheck from when I was a busboy every week at the comic store from that point on. It was all Wolverine, and I have hated every Wolverine movie that's come out with a passion. Hated them. They've been terrible. This new Logan movie that's coming out on the 3rd is getting all kinds of amazing ratings. They talk about how great it is. So I am really excited. If this is finally a good Wolverine movie, I will be having one of my most satisfying movie experiences. Never mind, I won't talk about what other satisfying experiences I might have had.
Oh, my most satisfying by far was in a movie called Desperado, and that was Selma Hayek's first appearance.
That's a bad movie.
Oh, it was, but I was a teenager, and I may or may not have pulled a Pee Wee Herman. But
that's way too much information.
Oh, I mean, that's fine. I'm hoping we have some young listeners to the podcast, and they're Googling who Pee Wee Herman is right now.
Right.
That will have helped their life. But who is the bad guy in Logan? That's what I can't figure out. It's like some dude with a claw. To me, superhero movies all come down to who the bad guy is.
So I'll be 100% honest. Whenever there's a movie I get really excited about, I try to watch like the Star Wars movie the one that just came out, Rogue One. I refused to watch anything about it before I went and saw it, and then went and saw it. So I have avoided most of the trailers. I get the feeling that the bad guy might be Sabretooth, who is one of the mega arch villains.
Oh, I know who Sabretooth is. No, this guy has he has this metal claw, and he looks like a freaking mercenary.
I don't know, and I'm not trying to find out. I'll see. I've seen a couple of brief moments where there's a little girl with claws, which I don't know where the hell that comes from. There are some Wolverine side books that came out that had some stuff in it like that, and I didn't read any of those. I only read the true material. The core comic.
So the girl's not in the storyline? Because she seems like the whole movie.
In any sort of comic book world, there's always like nine different books that are like, you know, either there's the one that comes out every month for long periods, and they're usually on book like number 130 when you start reading them. But then they'll also have like 24 book spans where they just have to tell one story about the character, and it may have nothing to do with the main story or even the main, like, the guy will be different. Like, if you go to the DC universe, they do this with Batman and the Joker all the time. So,
yeah.
It's hard for you to pick out what thread they're using necessarily. So, I'm just going to go, and I'm going to enjoy the crap out of it, I hope. And if it sucks, that's just going to make me hate it even more. And I will, I'll come home and glare at all my comic books, if that's the case.
Well, even if that happens, you're still going to have Boogie in your life. So
true. That's right. So thanks for everybody listening to this pod. I hope you can see some exciting basketball again. And like I said, we'll probably be back before the games start just to talk about any other pieces of fallout that happens. Anything else you want to say, Mike?
Nope. Just our old guy that we had a podcast with, wrote for Sacramento, just tweeted, James Hamm, in 7 years of covering the Kings, this is the most shocking event in the history of the team. Bigger than Anaheim, bigger than Seattle. So even he can't process it. So I think we're all going to need a couple of days.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.